This is the Ministry 127 podcast, a complimentary resource for spiritual leaders and a part of Ministry127.com. Ministry127.com is an online resource designed to help you develop and implement a biblical philosophy of ministry in the 21st century. Ministry127.com, including this podcast, is hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Ministry127.com provides a growing online library of ministry resources designed to encourage and equip spiritual leaders. These resources flow from servant-hearted local church leaders from around the world who are faithfully serving God with effective and biblical philosophies of ministry. To find out more, visit and subscribe to Ministry127.com. Today's lesson is entitled Supporting Your Pastor's Wife. It's taught by Nicole Christensen, who has served faithfully alongside of her husband, Tim Christensen, in the ministry here at Lancaster Baptist Church. Nicole is especially involved in ladies' ministry alongside of Mrs. Terry Chappell, and I know that her thoughts will be a great encouragement to your heart. Here's Supporting Your Pastor's Wife from Nicole Christensen.
There are several things that I enjoy getting to do here at our church, and one of my favorites, though, is helping Mrs. Chappell in the ladies' ministry and helping her plan events, and I just enjoy being around her, just getting to learn from her and watch her example, and I ask her lots of different questions about everything, parenting and ministry and different things like that, and so I just enjoy being able to work along her, and I think it's a privilege that we can support our pastor's wives in any way possible. And just seeing you in here, I know that you love your pastor's wives and you want to be a blessing and a help to them in any way that you can. And I believe that all of us in some way can support her. And now some of you probably maybe work full time, you may be a teacher or a secretary, and you already have long hours doing something else specifically. But my prayer is that something maybe that will be said today will just put a thought in your mind of a way that there's something you can do, that you can just help her and be an encouragement to her. Romans 16:3-5 says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." And it seems that every great leader seem to have some companions around them that they would refer to as the, "I couldn't have done it without those people." And, you know, they were right alongside of me the whole way. And the Apostle Paul is saying that in these verses about Priscilla and Aquila. And the verses, it gives me a description kind of what I believe my pastor and his wife do. They lay down their own necks. The church is in their house. And also, though, what we can do in assisting them and being a help to them. And this morning, we're going to look at six ways that we can help support our pastor's wife. First of all, we can exhibit a godly spirit toward her. And this has a lot to do with attitude. Women, we know about attitude. And what kind of attitude do you have toward your pastor's wife? Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And I want to have the right spirit toward my pastor's wife and just the way I talk to her, the way I listen and support her. I want to be positive. I want to see the good in what she says. Tell her that she does a good job in what she's doing, whatever area that may be. Encourage her. And one way we can do that is to respond to her properly. And when she comes up and asks you to help her with something, you know, hopefully you have that spirit of, "I'm so happy you would ask me. I would love to help out in that." And not kind of that, you know, where we can give that vibe off like, "I cannot believe you're asking me to do one more thing." Or we don't want to have that kind of an attitude with our pastor's wives. Treat her with respect. And she deserves it. Just the simple fact that she's the wife of your pastor, she deserves our respect. And don't compare her. You know, you're meeting a lot of different pastors' wives even this week. And, you know, you don't want to compare your pastor's wife with, "Oh, I wish she was like that," or "Why doesn't she do what that one does?" And let her be who God's called her to be. And no two are the same. Just like those of you with children, isn't it amazing? They're all so different. and you think, oh, I've had a couple, I'm sure the third one will be like one of the first two, and they're all different. And pastor's wives, they're all different. There's no two pastor's wives that are the same. So love her for who she is. And don't argue with your pastor's wife over something or talk down to her. Respond to her properly. Have the right spirit. Letter B is don't care who gets the credit. And be willing to have that behind-the-scene type spirit. And maybe you worked hours and hours in a particular area and it went off well and everybody comes up to her and says, oh, great job. And you think, I'm the one that did everything. Don't care who gets the credit. Of course, everything we do should be for the Lord, not for the praise of people. And just be happy that you got to be part of it. And anything that the Lord allowed to go well, praise the Lord for that. It's good for me to remember. I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for Mrs. Chapel and Pastor coming to this place. And then, going by faith and doing what God's called them to do and then allowing us to come alongside and work here as well. So that's a good thing to keep in mind that we wouldn't be here in the first place if it wasn't for their faith and their walk with the Lord. Letter C is apologize when necessary. You know, it's inevitable in life with relationships that there's going to be hurts happen and we may get offended or we may offend someone. And so we have to be willing to apologize when needed. In Matthew 5, verse 23 through 24, it says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And sometimes, you know, we're going to forget to do something maybe she asked us to do or just kind of drop the ball. You know, we say it around here sometimes and we're going to mess it up. And we just need to be willing to say, you know, I'm sorry, not try to defend herself or give her all the excuses of why we didn't do it. But just, you know, we're human too and she knows that. And just be willing to say you're sorry and learn from those mistakes and just keep on serving and don't let it get us to quit or I'm never going to help again. But hopefully we'll just apologize and then keep on serving alongside of her. And on the other side of that, letter D is forgive when necessary. Of course, Ephesians 4:32, I know we all know that verse, says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And, you know, on the flip side of apologizing is on the other side, we have to be willing to forgive. And if something's done that hurts you or maybe, she got short with you during a busy time or something like that, just be willing to forgive her even without her asking and keep that right spirit with her. And, you know, in a group of this size, there may be someone that maybe right now even you have something in your heart against your pastor's wife, something that maybe happened or she didn't thank you for helping one day or something like that, and you're carrying it around, and I would encourage you just to let that go and to forgive and not to let bitterness grow in your heart. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And, you know, when we hold on to something against anyone, it's like, bitterness, they say, is drinking poison hoping to hurt someone else. But really, we're the ones that we're hurting ourselves. So don't hold a grudge and, forgive. And it hurts your relationship with the Lord, your fellowship with Him when you hold on to something like that as well. And then number two, expect to assist her in the work of the ministry. You know, it takes a lot of work to have a ladies' ministry and to do different things around the church and help people. The ministry is about people and just being a blessing to others. And I'm amazed at all Mrs. Chapel does here at our church. I really don't know how she does it all. She's one of my heroes. And at the same time, she's an awesome wife and mother. It's not like she just works so hard in the ministry and her family. I mean, you're seeing them. They're growing up. They're all serving the Lord. They love the Lord. Their families are growing now. And you can tell her family thinks the world of her. But she's also such a blessing to our church ladies, and she loves them, and she takes time with them. And I know I probably don't even know the half. We probably really don't know the half of everything our pastor and his wife goes through. But I want to help her all that I can. And I know it can be stressful probably and overwhelming to try something new or to have a ladies' program or a Bible study, things like that. I heard about stress. Someone said that a recent new report said the typical symptoms of stress are eating too much, impulse buying, and driving too fast. And I thought, are they kidding? That's my idea of a perfect day. But be ready to help your pastor's wife in the work of the ministry. And regardless of what responsibilities you may already have, you know, just try to find something that you can do to be a blessing and a help to her. And I think that we all should strive. I feel like it's a calling. I mean, if we're in a church, part of, I feel, what God wants me to do at that church is to help my pastor's wife. And so even it can be personal things. I've enjoyed helping her with her child's open house from high school or now wedding receptions or things like that. It's just fun to help their family. So one way that we can do that, pretty basic, letter A, be present at activities. You know, this should be a given. I hope all of you, if you have a ladies' event or something at the church, we should all be there for sure. And it's kind of sad your pastor's wife goes to the time to prepare it and put it all together, and then we don't show up. And so hopefully you'll be present at activities and be in your place. Arrive early to help set up, or maybe you can't, so you can stay a little bit later to help clean up and throw things away. And our staff ladies are so good at this, and they work so hard. A lot of our ladies are full-time teachers or full-time secretaries, but they'll, you know, travel out to where we are maybe at the end of their job, and they'll help, you know, set the table or do what they can, you know, put water in the glasses or whatever. And we like to say around here, you know, teamwork makes the dream work, and it takes a whole bunch of people to get involved and help. Letter B, another thing that we can do is take leadership for an area of responsibility. And there are so many areas, too, that we can get involved in and take some leadership in. I mean, we could be the one to line up the nursery so that there could be a little work party to help our pastor's wife get ready for something, or we could sell tickets before the service, or whatever you take, though, be sure to follow through. You know, there's some of us that we'll just say yes about everything, and then we don't follow through. And really, it'd be a blessing if you'd let them know, I honestly can't do that right now. It's better to say that than to say, oh, I'll take that, and then not follow through with it. And give her updates. I'm learning that around here. Communication is so important. If she gives me an area of responsibility, I don't want her to have to wonder, is Nicole doing that? I mean, I haven't heard from her. Is she lining up that nursery? You know, how many kids are going to be there? How many workers does she have committed? It's good for me to give her an update, whether it's email or whatever, telling her, okay, so far we have 20 kids and I have 5 workers. And just let her know where you are on that when you take an area of responsibility. And just her not having to wonder if it's going to get done is such a burden lifter. It's one less thing that she has to think about or to worry about. And then letter C is don't get upset if she doesn't use your ideas. Now, if you were in that luncheon yesterday, that's kind of the joke they tease me all about. You know, I throw out all these crazy ideas or something, and you know, Mrs. Chapel can't use all of them, and you just learn to laugh at yourself. You know, oh, yeah. But we like to brainstorm around here, so we just start writing ideas on a board, you know, of all the different things that we think possibly, you know, we could do. Or if we get a topic, we'll start putting down what a decoration could be or what a food item could be. And, you know, not every idea can be picked or chosen right then, and that's okay. But don't get upset or offended, like, oh, I can't believe she didn't like the idea I had. And so, you know, they've tried, of course, as our ministry's grown, there's lots of things they could do when the church was smaller. And I wasn't here at the very beginning, and so I'll throw an idea, and they're like, we tried that one, and it doesn't work, you know. And with the size we have, one time they did a where they went on a bus and when the church was smaller, and they went to like a progressive dinner, but they went to different restaurants. I don't know if you've done that, you know, get French fries at McDonald's and get Frosties at Wendy's. And Mrs. Chapel and Mrs. Husband would run in and get all the food and bring it out to the ladies. Well, could you imagine us trying that now? It would be the longest ladies' night out we'd ever had, getting 800 of everything and taking them in. But, you know, keep sharing those ideas, though. You know, if she doesn't use it, don't say, I'm never going to give her another idea. Just keep sharing them, and then whatever route she decides to take when she chooses it, get behind her wholeheartedly and support the idea that she wants to go with. Don't tell her why it won't work or it's not a good idea. Just support her in that. Letter D, make yourself available to her. And let her know that she can count on you. You'll be there to help. When we first came, you know, I was young. I'm still young. But I touched those wrinkles when I said that. Did you see that? But so I mean, I didn't really know what I was supposed to do. Or, you know, I would just kind of show up at things and be like, wow, this is awesome. Look at all the stuff they did, you know. And I didn't really know. And so then I started just saying, is there anything you want me to do, you know. And so maybe I would just show up at a work event. And then one year, God really burdened my heart that to help her more and stuff. And I just remember writing her a letter saying, you know, it's on my heart to be more of a blessing to you. Please let me know. And that's really when I started getting more involved in helping her, was after that time of the Lord just putting in my heart to be more of a blessing to her. And I've learned to be available. One time we were planning a big ladies retreat, and those are our biggest ones. It's a three-day thing, so it's lots of details and things to think about and people to work on. And so my parents live here now in California, and they were out of town, and they had a swimming pool. So me and my husband and our girls thought, oh, they're gone. We're going to go hang out over there and swim in their pool. And then it was getting late, so we said, oh, let's just sleep here at their house. And it's here in Lancaster. And so we spent the night, and then my husband got up early and went to work. And I'm just kind of enjoying. It's funny. When you're at someone else's house, it's like you're on vacation, you know. I don't have to do laundry or clean. So I was kind of lounging around that morning. I found, like, this big pair of boxer shorts of my dad's in the drawer. And I had my hair on top of my head and my T-shirt. I hadn't brushed my teeth or washed my face or anything. And the phone kept ringing at my parents' house. Well, I wasn't answering it. It's not my house. And so well, all of a sudden, I hear this knock at the front door, and I'm, who in the world? You know, so I'm looking out the peephole, and it's Mrs. Chapel and Mrs. Husband. And I'm like, oh, you know, I didn't know what to do, so I'm just not doing anything. And they're going, we know you're in there. Your husband told us. Oh, I thought, oh, I'm going to hurt my husband, you know. So here I open the door, looking like I looked, and they were ready to have a ladies' retreat planning meeting. So they came on in, and they did leave for a couple minutes and get some lunch so I could at least change and brush my teeth. So, but I learned, you know, that day, be available. You better be ready. You know, you never know when they're going to need you. And, you know, sometimes it's running to the store to get ice cream. I mean, just something simple like that, because they're entertaining company and she didn't have it. But be available as much as you can. And you never know what it means just to know I have someone that I can call at the last minute and they're going to help me and they're going to you know, follow through. And the devil tries to discourage them, that they're all alone, that no one's, you know, on their side, no one knows what they're going through. So be available in any way possible. Try to assist her. Number three, is extend her ministry to the ladies of your church. And we can all minister on her behalf to the ladies of our church. And Pastor has said, you know, really, the staff, we're an extension of him in the ministry to the people that we serve. And we can do that with the ladies in our church. And they can't do everything, and they shouldn't have to do everything. That's why we're here, is to help them. And letter A, we can do this by answering ladies' questions. That's pretty easy. For example, we should know what our church offers ladies. And so when they come up and ask about a Sunday school class or which ways can I be involved, how can I help, it shouldn't be that they have to just find the pastor's wife to ask those things, but we can help answer those kind of questions and let them know a work day coming up or some way that they can come and be involved. Letter B is counseling ladies. Now, I have to admit, this is not my favorite thing, is counseling, but before you ever do something like that, make sure you know what the policies of your church are, what your pastor wants. You know, not all of us are called to be counselors, but there's certain things that we could answer. You know, if they have a problem with the nursery, and sometimes women can get really upset about something in the nursery, you know, we might be able to step in there and either, you know, apologize if their baby's diaper didn't get changed or you know, direct them. We have a nursery director. We can direct them to there. But there's certain things that we can get involved in. It doesn't have to come to Mrs. Chapel. Now, there are certain situations I would let her know immediately. If I heard of someone leaving our church, you know, upset about something or leaving their husband, I mean, that's something I'm going to let Pastor and Mrs. Chapel know about right away. But, you know, be careful. Make sure what your pastor's heart is about counseling. We do have in our ministry a certain lady that does most of our counseling. But a lot of us help in some of that ourselves. And so, you know, use discretion as you help. But there's certain things that don't have to come all the time to your pastor's wife and that you can help answer ladies' questions and just get their heart on it. Letter C is befriending ladies. Everyone needs a friend. Everyone wants to comes to your church. They want to feel special. They want to feel loved. You know, there's many ways that each of us can do that. Dropping a letter to them, making a phone call, having them into our home, just inviting someone to sit with you in church, giving them a smile, a listening ear. And we can all, every one of us can do that. And we all know what it's like to be on the supporting end, you know, or the other end of it. I love to get a letter from someone just that, wow, they were thinking of me, they wrote me. And we can all befriend ladies in our church. That's just not the pastor and his wife's job, you know, to befriend everyone and be nice. We need to do that too. And I know when we first moved here, the Lord used so many ladies that encouraged me by stuff like that and letters. And now I want to be doing that for people in my church as well. And, you know, some of us are very outgoing. And, you know, you have the more bubbly personality and you could talk to anybody. And then there's some, oh, goodness, the thought of going up to someone we don't know and talking to them. What would I say? What do I ask them? But that's no excuse not to do it. You know, we need to be able to come out of our... you know, if it's not natural, that's no reason. We need to come out of that comfort zone and just, you know, extend ourselves and go out there and befriend people. Letter D is involving ladies in the ministry. You know, you don't just have to be on staff to be involved. Our pastor often says that a staff-run church is a staff-ruined church. And we need to get every person out there that we can to be involved and help. And you know what? It means so much to them when the activity happens or whatever, taking meals to someone, that they know they got to be part of it and the Lord used them. And so we say around here, every saint a servant, every member a minister. And the Lord wants all of us to get involved. And so when Mrs. Chapel would give me an area of responsibility, I right away start thinking, okay, who can I ask to help me with this? You know, in my couples class, I'll try to think of what ladies I could ask, or just in our church. And right away, you should try to think, who can I bring along? And sometimes we think of those names that we just know they're always there, and we want to keep them involved, but always look for the new lady. What a way to start getting to know ladies of your church is by her coming to help you at a work party or, you know, cooking food or whatever. And a lot of times, if I didn't delegate, there's no way I'd get it all done. Usually, most tasks are given. It's not really just for one person. It's way too much for one person to do. It's really... I'll get assigned a thing, and I know she wants me to get people to help in that area and stuff like that. So involve your ladies in the ministry. Bring, when you have an event, try to bring someone with you to that event and get them involved. And they get Mrs. Chapel's heart. They get to know her. The work parties are really the funnest part because you're just all hanging around. We're talking. Mrs. Chapel's, you know, saying something funny that happened at home or whatever like that. And that's a great way for their hearts to start getting knitted with hers. Number four is extinguish potential fires for her. Now, unfortunately, that's probably the hardest thing of sometimes being in the ministry, the part you didn't expect, is that some people are just very critical of your pastor and his wife, their family, and it shouldn't be that way, but it does happen. And some people expect them to be superhuman because they're the pastor's wife, and, you know, they think that they should agree with everything that that person wants and stuff like that. And when it doesn't happen that way, they don't get their way or whatever, they can just start telling everybody about it and get outspoken about it. And I personally do not like confrontation. It's one area I know the Lord's trying to grow me in, and my husband tries to encourage me in. But if I hear someone speaking ill about Mrs. Chapel, I am going to step in on something like that and get, you know, I feel a protection about her. We should all feel that protection about our pastor and his wife. And so one way is a potential fire is people who want to monopolize. And, you know, there's just those few people, they want all of her time and energy. And, you know, sometimes we can step in almost and kind of help with that. And in a very humble spirit, not, you know, a proud way. But there's certain ladies that when I see them coming, you know, sometimes I'll try to step in. Is there anything I can help you with? Or is there something you need? Can I get you anything? Or, you know, sometimes you'll just see it's been 40 minutes and they're still talking. And I'll, you know, step in. Mrs. Chapel, pastor's looking for you or whatnot. And he really is. But we need to use discretion, you know, as far as how does your pastor's wife feel about that? Is there certain times she really does want you to step in and help? And it's not like she... doesn't want to take time for everybody, because she really does. But sometimes there's someone over there crying that she really needs to get to, and this person over here is just taking all of her time and, you know, not aware of the need over there. So, you know, try to step in when you can and help in those kind of situations. Letter B is people who want to criticize. And it makes me sad to think people do this, a pastor and his family. But there's just those people, they think it's their sole purpose in life to keep the pastor humble. And that's really a sad and pitiful way to live. And you should never listen to or allow in your presence someone to criticize or talk bad about your pastor and his wife or their family. And really, no one, to be honest, comes to me and complains about Mrs. Chapel. I think they know I wouldn't listen to it. But if you hear of someone being critical, sometimes working in the nursery, you can start hearing, you know, things be said. You know, step in, say something positive about it instead. And always be positive when speaking about your pastor's wife. You know, never be the one that you're complaining about, you know, something their kid did. Can you believe that, you know, or something you noticed. Don't ever be the one that you're the one saying stuff about it. And I like to brag about Mrs. Chapel to others and say what a great pastor's wife she is and what a blessing. And, oh, didn't she do such a good job the other day when she taught us about Hannah? Or, you know, I think she's the best pastor's wife in the world. And I think all of us should feel that about our pastor's wife. That's the best pastor's wife in the world. And, you know, that's where God's called you to that ministry. So that's the best pastor's wife in the world. Letter C is problems that materialize. And take the initiative. If you see a problem arising, find a solution. Don't always have to run to them and say, oh, there's this problem. What are we going to do? You know, if we're setting up for an event and they run out of bowls, you know, for to put the chips in, you know, something like that, you know, figure it out. What can we use instead? Try to know what she would want. You know, if there's crystal bowls with chips and we run out and I go, oh, let's just use these paper bags and throw them on the table. Well, that's probably not what she had in mind. So you do want to know, you know, what would she do in this situation? And the great thing is the longer you work with someone, you do, you know, I didn't know. I was so nervous to take initiative because I'd be like, what if I don't do it right? Or what if that's not what she had in mind? But the longer you work with someone, the more you kind of get their heartbeat about it. You just kind of know, oh, this is what she would like, or this is what she would do in this situation. And so we can do that. We can be not problem finders all the time. We can be problem solvers and figure out what's a great, you know, suggestion for this or what we could do. So now sometimes we're suggesting ideas and saying, oh, I think this would work or be better. But when she, you know, and maybe she totally has something else in mind. Well, when she makes that decision of what she wants to do, that's the time to stop suggesting and start following whatever she wants to do. Number five is explore ways to encourage her family. You know, think of how you feel when someone recognizes something good your children did. You know, sometimes the biggest blessing someone could be to me is being a blessing to my kids, you know? Just loving them, being an adopted grandma around here. Mrs. Eaton does that with my girls. And you know, sometimes being a blessing to the family is a blessing. I know the greatest way I can be a blessing to Pastor Chapel is being a help to his wife. And sometimes being a blessing to our pastor's wife is being nice to her children and try to remember special occasions like their birthdays or, you know, the pastor and his wife's anniversary. And we can do this for them. Letter A, we can remember special occasions. And so most of you probably know, you know, when the birthdays of their children are, when their anniversary is. When they came to this church, you know, that's a special time every time that year rolls around. Like, of course, for us right now, Pastor's celebrating 23 years here. And just try to be thoughtful. And it's not the expense of the expression that matters most. It's that you remembered and that you thought of it and that you let them know you were thinking about them. And get your kids involved. You know, I encourage my kids all the time to make cards for Pastor or, you know, go shake Pastor's hand, and they just love him and love Mrs. Chapel and all of their children. So your kids can get involved in being a blessing that way too. Letter B is recognize her children. Make them feel special. You know, it's not always a picnic to be the pastor's kids. There's not much privacy. There's not much room to make a mistake like other kids can do. It's like if you're the pastor's kids, you're never supposed to do wrong or sin. And, you know, they're human, and they're going to have hard times too and have, you know, make mistakes. And try to encourage, write their kids letters. Maybe you can take them out for ice cream. You can say nice things to them when you see them. You know, be their friend. I love our pastor's kids, and they're not really kids anymore. But I hope they know if they ever needed something that they could call me and I would be there to help them. And importantly, pray for them. The devil wants to discourage them and even tempt them with, you know, evil things, because then it's, you know, it can hurt the ministry. And so he's going to do whatever he can to attack their kids too. So be a blessing to their children. Letter C is be aware of unique needs. You know, there's different times when things are a little more busy or a trial comes into their life, and try to be aware of those unique times when maybe they really need some extra encouragement. You know, just for an example, if they're moving, well, could you pack a couple boxes for her, or could you watch her young children while she's trying to do those things? It could be just simple things like that, but as women, isn't it the simple things that mean so much to us and that are such a huge blessing? So be aware of extremely busy times in the ministry. Maybe you know it's so busy, so you say, oh, you know, I want to bring dinner to your family tonight. You don't have to worry about cooking. Or try to just find a way like that you can support and be a blessing. A pastor's wife that's here this week was sharing with me, actually just last night, how one of her staff ladies, when they baptize in their ministry, I guess it's like a three-hour event because they have to go somewhere. It's a young church planting church that's just getting planted. And so I guess they eat food and they do things while all the baptism is happening because it takes so long to get the next person or something. And so she said that there was this like 7-layer taco dip, and it's like her favorite. She loves that. Well, she wasn't eating any because they were so busy helping people change and do stuff. And one of the ladies in her church noticed her kind of looking at it but not being able to get any. And so that night she showed up with a whole pan of it just for her. And she said that meant so much to her that someone noticed that she loves that stuff and didn't take any, and they brought her. I mean, something that simple, and it really meant a lot to this pastor's wife. So, you know, we could all do something like that and be a blessing to them. Obey every impulse from the Holy Spirit. When he puts something on your heart, and maybe you don't even know why, you know, or that's kind of silly, you know, obey every impulse. If he prompts you to do something, do it. We just never know at that moment maybe how the devil's trying to discourage them, or a trial that they may be going through that maybe they're not talking about right then, or that they're facing. And we could encourage and let them know we love you and we're thankful for you. Letter D is respond to the preaching of her husband. Make decisions that the Lord places on your heart during a service or a staff meeting. Tell your pastor what a good message it was and how the Lord spoke to your heart. The opposite would be like the lady who after the service went up to her pastor to shake his hand and said, "Thank you for your sermon, Pastor. It was like water to a drowning man." Well, that was kind of the opposite of being encouraging. But, you know, the big thing of being a blessing and a support to your pastor's wife is for all of us to have a personal walk with the Lord. We're not going to be a blessing when we're filled with ourselves and when we're in the flesh and we're not having our own devotions and walking with God. And just because we're on staff or just because we're faithful to church, that doesn't make us spiritual. We each have to have a time where we're spending time with the Lord and getting in his word and praying and being on our knees. And the best that support we could be to our pastor's wife is for us to have a growing walk with God. A thriving relationship with the Lord, and everything we do starts with that. So if it's appropriate, tell your pastor maybe what the Lord's working on in your heart, and you know how he's challenging you. Thank your pastor, thank them for obeying the Lord and coming here, and for you know, the sacrifices that they make. And we often tell the pastor how thankful we are that we get to be here, and that we get to raise our children here, and that we get to serve the Lord here in this place. Number 6, the last one, is express your love, appreciation, and loyalty to her. I want my pastor's wife to never wonder, but to know that I love her and that I think she's the best. And it's not superficial. I really do feel that way. Doesn't it make you feel so good inside when you know that you're just loved for who you are, and that, you know, someone's going to be there with you no matter what you face, and they're going to be a help to you, and you, they're there to encourage you. It reminds me of a story I heard, and the opera house was sold out in anticipation of a world-famous singer. But when the lights dimmed on that performance and an announcement brought a groan from the crowd, They said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we apologize for any disappointment this announcement may cause. Our featured singer has suffered a minor accident and will be unable to perform tonight. We hope that you'll welcome his understudy warmly." The crowd muttered and sighed, and the opera began. Well, the stand-in artist gave the performance everything he had. Throughout the evening, though, there had been an uneasy silence. You know, nobody was saying anything. And even at the end of the whole performance, no one applauded or did anything. Then from the balcony, the thin voice of a little girl broke the silence. "Daddy," she called out, "I think you were wonderful." And after that, the whole audience just clapped and broke out into applause. And you know, we can do that for our pastor's wife. Not everyone does that. Not everyone lets her know, you know, she did a good job or that she's wonderful. But we can do that. And one way we can do it is in written form. I know I don't do it enough, but it means so much just to write a note to them and let them know, you know, how we feel and that we love them and how thankful we are. And a letter lasts forever. You know, when they're having a bad day, they can take it back out and reread it and see that, you know, oh, you know, they think at least something's, you know, right or they love me. And hopefully we'll take the time. And some of you, I'm sure, are just natural letter writers. I am not one of those. And so I have to actually consciously make myself do it or write it down in a planner, you know, write a letter today and stuff like whatever you have to do to remind yourself. But do it through letters. And then letter B is do it in verbal form. Don't be too embarrassed or shy to come up to them personally and say how much you love or how thankful you are, that you appreciate what she does. Thank her for being a godly example to you of a wife, a mother. Let her know you want to help her in any way, and be generous with your kind words. Thank her for her faithfulness, and find the good. It's so easy to find the negative or whatever, but find the good about her and praise her for that good. Let her know how important she is to you. And, you know, God does that for each of us all the time and lets us know how special we are in his sight. And we can also do that for them. So be thoughtful of her. Letter C is in spiritual form. And I didn't put it last because it's the least important. It really is the most important. It's probably one of the best things that you can do. And hopefully her name is on your prayer list to pray for her every day and her family. Pray for her constantly and let her know, "I'm praying for you." And, you know, we won't always be there. We're not going to always be able to be there, and we won't always know the trials that she's facing or maybe a disappointment that's come into her life, but the Lord does know all those times, and he's always there for her. So be praying, and he hears our prayers on their behalf. So let's make sure that we always pray for our pastor and his family. And in preparation for this lesson, God really spoke to my heart, and I know that there's ways that I can do better in, maybe some things I haven't done in a while. And I hope that, you know, there was something said that you would just be more conscious of and think of ways that you can support and be a blessing. And I've prayed the Lord to help me make a difference with my pastor's wife and in their family. Philippians 4:3 says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel." And you know, it's a great responsibility and it's a great privilege to come alongside our pastor's wife and try to support her in any way that we can and try to be a blessing to her family. And, you know, keep your heart knit with hers. Don't let anything get in there between you. Express it to her often that you are thankful and help her. And I know that there's something that each of us can definitely do.
You've been listening to the Ministry127.com podcast. Today, Nicole Christensen has been teaching ladies how to support your pastor's wife. We hope this lesson has encouraged you to get involved in ladies' ministry and to get involved in encouraging the heart of your pastor's wife. You've been listening to the Ministry127.com podcast, a resource designed to encourage and equip spiritual leaders in developing a biblical philosophy of ministry for the 21st century. If you have benefited from this complimentary resource, the Ministry 127 podcast, or from Ministry127.com, would you simply consider referring a friend? You know somebody perhaps serving in the ministry or growing in God's grace that could benefit from these resources. Send them an email and let them know about Ministry127.com. For more information and for many other additional resources that support local church leadership, visit ministry127.com. Also, for publications resources that encourage spiritual growth and support the local church ministry, visit strivingtogether.com. Thanks for listening to this ministry127.com podcast.